Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Welcome to the Lord's house on this 15th day of our 50-day celebration of Christ's resurrection. Today, Revelation 5 calls Jesus the Lamb who was slain. In our prayers today, we include Devin Kemmerer, who will have knee surgery tomorrow. We also include Synodical Vice President Herb Miller, who is hospitalized, and Roger Roth, who is the our daughter-in-law's grandfather, who had a heart attack and is recovering. Voters meet today at 10:30, and if there's any time left, Bible class will follow that. Sunday school will meet as usual. The youth will be serving a Cinco de Mayo luncheon that you're welcome to enjoy. You can eat during the meeting, or you can wait until after the meeting to eat. Donations benefit our youth activities. Since my voice is still not recovered, we're going to speak the responsive portions of the liturgy today. With one exception, the psalm today, I'll speak the verses, but you'll sing the refrain part. So that'll be just a little bit unusual. Any other announcements or prayers? Education Committee meets Wednesday.
Wednesday instead of last week. Education Committee meeting is this coming Wednesday at 5:45 here at church. Thank you.
Anything else? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today's first reading is from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered a house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you restored me to life. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. You turned my wailing into dancing. I will give you thanks forever. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. You turned my wailing into dancing. I will give you thanks forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You turned my wailing into dancing. I will give you thanks forever.
Today's second reading is from the book of Revelation, the fifth chapter. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with the seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all the world. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was sealed on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To whom sits on the throne and to the Lamb to be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To you, O Lord. Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Amen.
Word of God that calls for our attention as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is the second reading for this day from Revelation chapter 5. I'll read pieces of it during the sermon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. A few newspaper headlines from one single day last week. Another student massacre, this time at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. An infant dies when a raft of illegal immigrants overturns. White House and Congress call each other names. Flooding in some places on the Mississippi is now worse than that massive flood of 1993. Healthcare workers need presidential intervention or they would be forced to perform abortions against their consciences. The Speaker of the House says this is immoral. She's not talking about the killing of unborn babies being immoral. She thinks it's immoral that Christians aren't forced to go against their consciences. St. Louis County executive is arrested and forced to resign for corruption. If convicted, he joins how many Illinois governors who've gone to prison? In Venezuela, where the Ernsts live, people are going hungry, children are dying because folks cannot afford to buy what little food is available. The people are rioting and civil war may follow. More than 1,000 people die in a cyclone in Mozambique, and 2 million people are affected by the cyclone. Most of them, or many of them, left homeless. 250 Christians worshiping in Sri Lanka on Easter morning are massacred, the fallout still being felt. Closer to home, Larry's dad passes away. The man who was supposed to speak for our conference this coming Tuesday, District Pastors Conference, died unexpectedly and quite young, leaving a wife and I believe it was 6 children still at home. Death, disaster, disappointment surround us. And they surrounded the Christians who lived in the first century also. That is why God supplied this 5th chapter of Revelation. In chapter 4, John has seen a vision. It is one awe-inspiring vision. It's God on his throne, and the angels gathered around the Father with the saints gathered around them. Now we pick up the story in chapter 5. I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, that would be the Father, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals, and a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scrolls or look into it. Why is John crying just because nobody can open a scroll? Because that scroll tells the future of every human. Open the scroll and you'll find out if those headlines that we're living through now are going to continue on for infinity or if there might be something better in store for us. But John looks around heaven and no one is worthy. No one is powerful enough to open the scrolls or to determine our future. This is why John is weeping, because he lives in a bad world and he knows it's going to get worse. He is hopeless, and after you live without hope, then you die. It is the fate of all of us sinners. No angel in heaven can change the reality. No saint can change the reality. We certainly can't stop the disasters or end their death. We have no hope. And so John weeps. And then one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as if it had been slain. He went and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. What is a smelly sheep doing in the throne room of God Almighty? And how is it that a lowly lamb can take the scroll and break the seals and determine our fate? Come on, this seems a little ridiculous, doesn't it? A woolly farm animal able to do what angels and archangels and all the company of heaven have failed to accomplish? Well, a woolly farm animal couldn't do it. But this isn't a woolly farm animal. This is a symbol. Revelation is filled with symbols. Lampstands symbolize churches. A beast symbolizes corrupt government. The dragon symbolizes Satan, and a lamb symbolizes Jesus. A strange symbol that is, though. I mean, let's see, America picks an eagle. Britain has a lion. Russia has a bear. No nation would pick a lowly lamb to represent it. And if you own a professional sports franchise and you're picking out the mascot name, you'll pick an eagle, a tiger, a bull. I don't think you're going to pick the lambs. That's not going to strike fear into anyone's heart. Why is it that God chooses a lamb to represent his son when a lamb is associated with nothing but slaughter in the Old Testament? Turn back the clock 1,500 years. God's people are slaves. They cannot escape from the Egyptians any more than you and I can escape from the reality of all those headlines that are happening around us. And then God intervenes. He sends 9 plagues. Even then, Pharaoh will not let the people go. He sends a 10th plague. It is the death of every firstborn male. Every firstborn male dog, every firstborn male cow, every firstborn male goat, every firstborn male Egyptian, and every firstborn male Israelite. Unless they have a Passover lamb, also called a Paschal lamb. And God tells all the Israelites, I want you to take that lamb, slaughter that lamb, eat the meat of that lamb, and then smear the blood of that lamb on your doors. Then the angel of death passes over each door that's marked. The Israelite firstborn males live because the lamb, the Paschal lamb, was slaughtered in their place. You and I live because the Paschal lamb, Jesus, is slaughtered in our place. And if you think the headlines in this world are horrible, yeah, read what's going to happen to those who are not marked by the blood of the lamb when our Jesus returns. And so the last thing we sing penitently before we come to the table of our Lord is, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. You take away our sin. Have mercy on us. And appropriately so, because we are coming to the Passover meal. The meal that Jesus was giving to his apostles at the First Supper, which is also often called the Last Supper. When the Paschal Lamb himself looked at his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. That's what you're supposed to do with the Passover lamb, eat it. He says, take, drink, this is my blood shed for you. And now, instead of putting the blood on their doors, he's putting the blood on their lives, on your life, on my life, as he puts it on our lips, so that we might know that we have been ransomed by that lamb, the lowly lamb, slaughtered, that John sees in the presence of God in the throne room of heaven. You'll note that John specifically says, this angel looks as if it has been slain. Wasn't that it? It looked as though it had been slain, because it had been slain. or just as good a translation, slaughtered. Slaughtered like a Passover lamb, not with the knife of a Jewish father, but with the cross of the Roman Empire. Slaughtered so that you might know that your future will include something other than just the headlines that are around us now. This is why all of heaven bows down. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, they're kind of the heavenly choir directors, and the 24 elders, representing the saints of the Old and New Testament, fell down before the Lamb, and they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. He ransomed us." And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them say, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. And you will notice that the one they fell down and worshiped was not a dead lamb, but a living lamb. John can tell us he was alive. Firsthand, he tells us. Two Sundays ago, he told us how he had been seen alive. Last Sunday, how he was seen on Easter evening by John himself with Thomas present. Without Thomas present, and then a week later with Thomas present. And now a third time, Jesus appears to the apostles, this time 50 miles north in Galilee by the Sea of Tiberias, where John and his fellow fishermen have begun plying their trade again. But it's been a fruitless night until they're told to put the net in on the right side of the boat. And they pull in 153 fish, a number that only an eyewitness would have told us about. 153 large fish, the eyewitness tells us. And their nets didn't even break, John says with astonishment. He says, we didn't have to ask who it was. They knew it was the Lord. The Lamb who was slain had begun his reign. The dead Christ had become the living Christ, which is why he is worthy to take the scrolls, to break the seals, and to receive the praises of all of us on earth and all the hosts of heaven, because his resurrection determined the future of every single human who ever exists. Now, you don't have to believe that Jesus did it for you. There are a lot of people who reject Jesus. You can continue to live in hopelessness. You can continue to live with hatred and disappointment and fear and worry as if Jesus is still in the grave. Jesus will not stop you. He will be heartbroken if you choose death and hell over life and heaven, if you choose sin over righteousness. But he will not stop you from wallowing in your misery now or for the rest of eternity if that's what you are determined to do. He invites you instead, though, to trust in him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Passover lamb, the one who was sacrificed so that the headlines that we read today are not going to last for all eternity? If so, thank the Holy Spirit. And don't fret about the problems of this world. For the one who walks you through all of those things that are going to happen in this life is not dead. He is alive. Now, I'll grant to you that life isn't likely to get easier for you when you become a believer in Jesus. It certainly didn't become easier for Paul, who was still called Saul in today's first reading. He had always been the one that the Christians feared. Ananias was worried when he heard that Paul was coming. But now the tables are turned. Paul has been given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he's the one who is persecuted. But that does not stop him. He goes into the synagogues. He goes into the marketplaces. He says, Jesus is the God. He says, Jesus is the Messiah. He proves it from the Old Testament. He says Christ is risen, and he bears the consequences because he knows what you know. The promise of your Lord: be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is why you can endure, because you know who is, who is with you through every trial that you have in this life, and you know what he has waiting for you. In that new creation, if there is a newspaper, it will have no headlines that talk about a cyclone striking, a baby dying, or a war starting. There will be no reporters going to the scene of the latest murder, to the courthouse for the corruption trial. And most of all, there will be no obituaries in that newspaper, because there will be no more disasters, disappointments, murders, corruption, or death. Dear Christians, do not fret about your future. Do not worry if you might have to suffer or even die for your faith. Spend your present and your future living for the Lamb, learning his word, feasting on his supper, doing his work, telling his good news, standing up for good instead of evil, and doing love to your enemies as well as your friends, because the one who gets you through life is the Lamb who conquered death. The Lamb who, when he walked out of his tomb alive, popped open those seals on the scroll in his dad's hand and determined your future forever. No, you don't know exactly what you might have to endure. You do not know when you will die, but you know what will happen after you have endured and died. Your suffering will be ended, your death will be undone, and you will be in the new creation with the Lamb, whose blood sets us free to be people of God. At the Lamb's high feast we sing: worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne, so crown him with many crowns, that Lamb upon his throne. The world can seek out its lions and bulls and tigers and jaguars. We know that the real power is found in a lowly Lamb who was slaughtered and now is alive. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. We stand for the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came out from heaven and was made by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And he was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered and he was buried.
On the third day he rose again from the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Heavenly Father, hear our prayers as you have promised because of your Son, the Lamb. Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive our praises and thanksgivings for sending your Son as the Lamb to ransom us by his blood, to make us a kingdom and priests in your service, and to determine our future. Bless our congregation, especially our voters meeting today. and a guide St. Mark, Zion, St. Paul, and Trinity congregations, so that all we endeavor in your name reflects your will and accomplishment, accomplishes your purpose. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, you caused Saul and Peter to follow and serve you. Raise up men today to serve as pastors and feed your sheep. Fill the nets of your gospel with many who hear your good news and believe by the power of the Spirit. Bless and protect missionaries and all church workers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the nations, provide our country with good and honest leaders who govern according to your will and for the good of all. Prompt them to protect those most vulnerable, to defend what is good, and to guard us from all enemies. Watch over those in our armed forces and bring peace to all nations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, give to us the living lamb so that we have strength in the face of temptation, courage in the face of fear, comfort in the time of distress, and resolve in the face of persecution. Help us to abound in hope in every circumstance, because we know the Lamb has conquered death and determined our eternity. Be with Wesley, Pat, Jack, Luke, Carly, and all your baptized people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, give to the sick healing, to the suffering relief, to the troubled, peace, to the grieving, comfort, and deliver the dying to your rest. Especially we pray for Larry's family and the Martinez family, and for Devin, Bob, Bill, Mel, Jeanette, Taylor, Nina, Sharon, Don, Matt, Herbert, Gertrude, Roger, Tara, Steve, Barb, Ellis, Sherry, and Kathy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, you have richly supplied us with the gifts of time, abilities, and income. Receive our thanks for all your gifts. Accept the tithes and offerings we bring in worship of you and the Lamb. Bless our lives and families. Especially watch over Ray and Morgan, whom you have joined in marriage. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you gave your Son to be the Lamb, and he has given us his own flesh to be our food, and his very blood to be our drink. Send us your Holy Spirit, so that we who approach this table receive your gifts with repentant hearts and confident faith. Strengthen us as your baptized people to endure whatever we face on this earth, because we know that the Lamb's resurrection gives us life without sorrow or death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, receive our thanks for David and for all the saints, for their faith and their witness to keep to us. Keep us faithful until death, so that we can be reunited with all who have gone before us with faith in the Lamb. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
To you, O Father, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be all blessing, honor, glory, and might, both now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
The Offertory, page 159. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sin of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and
might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have sin of the world.
Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
This is the true blood of Christ shed for me. The body and blood of your paschal lamb, slaughtered and now risen. For you, go in peace.
unified. You have brought us life and light. Alleluia.
You have received the body and blood of the Paschal Lamb.
body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all your sins.
From misery and death set free, all joy and
glory. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage of the feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.